Ever since soldiers returned from World War II, the suburbs have been portrayed as the family-friendly good life.
And so they join the stream of family life in the suburbs, soon to become part of its familiar sights, soon to absorb its familiar sounds.
One of the most familiar sounds is a lawnmower. That noise just grates on Aileen Eilert's nerves. Her goal is to live a more environmentally friendly life in the suburbs. She does have a lawn, but she and her husband are converting much of it to vegetable plots.
So I have some snow peas growing here, and then here's, you know, 4 tomato plants, and Bruce planted some peppers all the way down here.
Eilert says gardening means she drives less often to the grocery store, and she's not buying produce shipped in from a different continent. That's important to her. Eilert says she decided to use less oil after her nephew was killed in Iraq in 2005.
You know, we're fighting over there, and it was about oil. And so I just thought, I've got to do something. I mean, it's too late for me to do anything about my nephew. And it's sad. He was such a good kid. I'd like it to be where people, oh, we don't need to buy oil from countries that may not be friendly to us or may not be stable.
Eilert is not alone. People in the suburbs are beginning to think about their lifestyles in a different way. Evan McKenzie is a professor at the University of Illinois, Chicago. He researches the politics of suburbia.
The stuff that was planned and put in place in the 60s and 70s and even the 80s, I think in some cases is giving way to new ideas. I mean, they're selling and giving away rain barrels in the suburbs so people can collect rainwater to water their plants with and this sort of thing. I never heard of that before.
Not everyone is on board with the environmental movement in the suburbs just yet. Last year, Americans spent almost $11 billion on do-it-yourself lawn care. Aileen Eilert wants to change that. She calls her new campaign Grow Food, Not Lawns. Today, she's pulling a plastic wagon loaded with tomato and pepper starter plants. She's headed for the subdivision one block over. Eilert approaches Tim Lakis as he mows his lawn. She gives him a pepper plant. Then comes the pitch.
Lawns actually use a lot of chemicals. If you put chemicals on your lawn, and that gets into our water system.
Okay.
And then also, like, your lawnmower has way more emissions than a car would.
Okay.
You know, not that I'm saying that.
Okay, I'll look it over.
She does get a couple of strange looks. But Eilert learns pretty quickly there's way more gardening going on here in this neighborhood than she had thought. She had pegged it as a lawn-addicted wasteland. But this subdivision's residents are kind of green.
I'm just going to assume you use a gas mower.
No,
electric.
Do you?
Yes.
Oh, you are just the perfect person to talk to today.
I mean, every year I grow my tomatoes and peppers and zucchinis.
Every year I try to get rid of more grass and put in more plants.
Eilert's a little surprised. She even gets a recipe for cooking dandelions. She leaves the subdivision encouraged.
People were concerned and people did think it was a good idea to have gardens, and they'd be willing to maybe do make a little bit more of a sacrifice to make the earth a little bit better.
And this is just the beginning for Eilert's Grow Food, Not Lawns campaign. Next, she wants to get schools to replace some of their lawns with veggies, and maybe get the kids thinking, just a little, about other things they could do. For the Environment Report, I'm Ashley Gross.